73 today.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Coming up on this show, boy, we have some interesting things we're going to talk about, including, and as always, healthcare right from the get-go. The latest, I guess you're not shocked, Nancy Pelosi again committing to the public option. Meanwhile, Bernie Sanders, who is from Vermont, the independent man at the helm, you might say, Senator, he had this to say about a couple of things happening with Afghanistan, including the fact that they're asking for more troops, General McChrystal is. However, he might not get those troops until a strategy is outlined.
My major concern about the war in Afghanistan and why I voted against the recent defense authorization bill is that we seem to be getting sucked into a quagmire without the kind of debate, without the kind of discussion that this country desperately needs and the people of our country are entitled to. What we know now is that the number of troops that the generals are requesting is going up and up. We know that we are pouring, we have already poured several hundred billion dollars into Afghanistan. That number is going to go up. But we don't know what the goals of our efforts in Afghanistan are or what kind of exit strategy we have. And I worry that Afghanistan will be another Vietnam. I worry that Afghanistan will be another Iraq. We've been there 8 years already. And how many more years are we supposed to be there? How many more American troops are supposed to die? How many more tens and tens of billions of dollars are we supposed to be spending at a time when we have a record-breaking deficit? I find it amusing that some of my more conservative friends are saying, well, we can't afford to spend more money on health care in this country. We can't afford to spend more money on education or environmental protection. But, yes, we can't afford to pump tens and tens of billions of dollars more into the war in Afghanistan. So my view is that we need far more clarity on this issue than we have had. We need a real national discussion of exit strategy, a national discussion about what our goals are. We haven't had that, and the American people should be demanding.
All right, so part of tonight's show, we're going to be talking about health care. As I said, the latest, Nancy Pelosi again affirming that big fat commitment, public option or else, plus something else that's been put on the table as far as a special option might be concerned from a different part of the world. I'll explain what another senator's philosophy is. But back to Afghanistan for a moment. Afghanistan, what McChrystal is saying, the general on the ground there, is that we need more warriors, we need more troops, and that the war can be won with a new strategy. Now, former General Wesley Clark says, look, you got to have public support. And I ask all of you, how much public support do we have for this so-called war in Afghanistan? Many of you have called this show expressing your doubts as to why are we there in the first place. It was George Will, even, just a couple of days ago, the conservative columnist, I think, who really nailed it, though he often does that, it's not a surprise, in his piece in the Washington Post, where I'm going to pull out a couple of quotes. He said, America should do what can be done offshore using intelligence, drones, cruise missiles, and small, potent special forces units, concentrating on the porous 1,500-mile border with Pakistan, a nation that actually matters. I agree wholeheartedly. I couldn't have said it more eloquently myself. It's exactly what we have been talking about forever on ATN. So how about it, America? Can you climb back on board, as Wesley Clark says, because you have to have the public support? And we, of course, ultimately, it's al-Qaeda, not so much the Taliban that we want to defeat, because that's the traces back to 9/11, right? So that's the first thing. So that's the burning question. Can the public rally around Afghanistan for another decade? You know, the Pentagon announced today that two units will have their time extended. So that means the one of them out of Fort Bragg in North Carolina, they got to stay for another 50 days. And the other out of Fort Stewart in Georgia, they got to stay another 14 days. And you say, well, 50 days, 14 days. Trust me, it's a lot when you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And part of the theory is, look, every time someone new comes in, you have to retrain them and give them the lay of the land. So we've been talking about Afghanistan for a very long time. The 90% rate of illiteracy in that country, the GDP in that country, how can they possibly support a private army and a private police force? How can they possibly do that? And then what about the question of the poppy fields, the opium fields, the value that the Taliban has hanging over the heads of these illiterate people? So there's nothing but questions that really hang in the balance of Afghanistan. And I brought it up at the top, and there's a slew of other things. I mean, look, you got Michael Jackson and his big private funeral out at the celebrity burial grounds in Los Angeles. You have a couple of other things happening with North Korea. You have all the hubbub over Obama speaking to the school kids, and we'll get to all that stuff. But too often, I think Afghanistan is left aside, pushed aside. And on a day when, you know, I go back and I look at the figures, and did you know that August, again, was the deadliest month in that country for U.S. forces? And now we want to increase those forces. There is no exit strategy. There is no strategy in general. George Will, a baseball fan, I think, as I said, hit it out of the park when he said, how about paying attention to the real zone, that 1,500-mile border with Pakistan, a country that really matters? And he's right about concentrating there. He's right about using drones and cruise missiles and use some special forces. Why not do that instead of investing more troops and more money to something that is going to gain us nothing in the end in Afghanistan? All right, as much as we're going to talk about that and some of the other things I mentioned, we will lighten the load. After all, we're swinging into yet another weekend, so that means movies. There's a chick flick that's out. I guess it's kind of a chick flick. It's all about Steve. Could be a chick flick slash guy flick. Gamer, Extract, two other movies that are out as well. They're getting a little bit of buzz. I'm going to go back to my old standby saying of the best movies, I think, are the ones that have been out the past couple of months, including Inglourious Basterds. I would recommend that to anyone. I mean, not little kids, but I would recommend that to any adults listening to me. It's an excellent Quentin Tarantino film. And as much as his films go way over the line sometimes with language and whatnot, it's actually not that bad. And I think you'll get a big kick out of it if you're looking for a little laughter. And Brad Pitt in a very, very, very big role, I think. Coming up also, no fluff, the real stuff on healthcare. That's what Joe Biden's saying. We're going to let you hear the latest from him. He's sort of the guy that they throw out to chum the waters. Get everybody ready for what Obama's going to say next week in his speech that will be televised to both chambers. Can't wait. He sort of stopped short, though, and said, I don't want to tell you everything. So he kind of threw the meat out there, and then he pulled it back in. Hey, coming up next, can't wait for this next guest, C.D. Berry. Can you imagine what it would be like to be on a slab in the morgue and then come back to life? We'll tell you about it next.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, products, Alka-Zone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. Alka-Zone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call Alka-Zone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Imagine, as I just said before we stepped aside to pay some bills here in America tonight, if you were on a slab in the morgue and you were still alive. Can you imagine flatlining and then coming back to life? I've heard the stories, but one can only conjure up the images. Our next guest knows exactly what that's like. C.D. Barry, you might recognize the name. Actress, model. She even one time did what I used to do, television news. She was a news reporter. And if you, I love this show too, House of Pain, working with Tyler Perry. Can you imagine what that's like? It is a pleasure to welcome C.D. Barry to America tonight. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great, man. When I heard your story, I could not believe it. So let's roll the tape back and tell everybody first what happened and how you ended up on a slab in the morgue.
Well, actually, it was a few years back. It was during the delivery of my first child. I went into the hospital with complications, actually, and I was in for about 2 or 3 days before I actually gave birth to him. But during that time, there was so much, you know, complications going on that the only thing that I can remember just before I actually could feel my soul leaving my body was the doctors like screaming, saying, you know, just sew her up, do something. And I could just see them looking, you know, I could look down and see them below just scurrying about, you know, trying to take care of everything to save me and my child. But after that, it was almost as if I was walking through a tunnel, you know, a dark tunnel towards a bright light. And I wouldn't say actually walking, but it was sort of floating because I felt very light. And as I was moving closer towards that light, I heard a voice that said, go back. I'm not ready for you yet. I have a message for you to deliver. At the time, I didn't really know, you know, what that meant. I didn't know what message I had to deliver. But later, I thought maybe, you know, I was to do the news or something. I wasn't really sure. However, during that time, though, in the morgue, when I did wake up from having that vision or that dream, I noticed that I was lying on a metal table, and it was cold in there because it was in November, and it was really cold. And the only thing I had over me was a sheet, and I knocked the sheet off as I sat up. You know, it just fell off. And while I was sitting on the table, someone walked by the door. The door was open, and I assumed it was a nurse because, you know, when she saw me sitting up, she jumped. It's like she said, "Oh, you're awake." And she said, stay there, go and get help, and don't move. So when she came back in, you know, she came in with orderlies and I guess, you know, other nurses, and they had the stretcher and IV and all that, and they connected me and wheeled me up to a room. But I didn't know at the time that, you know, when they came in that I was actually in a morgue. I didn't realize that until later. And the doctor said that I had given everybody a big scare. Once they took me up to the room, it was like, you know, every 5 minutes someone was coming in, checking my vital signs just to make sure I was okay. And I still had not seen my son. They didn't bring him to me until the following day. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was going to live, I assume.
Oh, boy, but, no kidding. What was your family's reaction to this?
Pardon me?
What was your family's reaction to this happening to you?
My mother told me that she had received a call from the hospital. They wanted her to come. They didn't tell her exactly, you know, why, what was going on. But she said she knew, you know, something was wrong, so she refused to come. She didn't want to come. And at the time, my husband was actually in Korea. So he was in the military, and he had been stationed over there. So he was away, and there was really no one there with me. But it's just, I don't know. My mother, she knew that something was wrong. But God brought me through it, so able to talk about it and, you know, laugh about it, because something very similar to that actually happened to her earlier, she told me. I didn't find out about that until actually after she had passed away. My mother has been dead now for about 8 years. And one evening I was talking with my aunt, and she said, you know, something very similar to that happened to your mother. And I was really surprised to find out. So I guess it runs in the family, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately. But now, if something like that happens to you, and you described it, the dark tunnel going toward the light, maybe kind of like you're floating, I mean, your life has changed, and I would think, and that's what you're trying to do, that you're reaching out, you automatically are thinking, wow, what am I supposed to do? What is the message? How do I reach out to other people? Was that some of what you started to think afterwards?
Exactly, because that's why I've done so many things in my life. My daughter and I were talking, and she was like, Mom, what haven't you done? Everything I mentioned, you've been there, done that. And I said, I know. I said, it's just I really didn't know what it was that God wanted me to do until I guess I think about 10 years ago. It was the very first time that I put together a rough draft of a letter and presented it to the pastor of my church. And I was very timid and shy about, you know, speaking out in front of the congregation, so I didn't want to do it myself, but I gave him the letter, but nothing, you know, came about it. So, but God, he worked with me. I have been through so much. I have testimonies that are out of this world because of the fact that I didn't want to step out on faith and do what he had chosen me to do. He didn't want anyone else to do it. He wanted me to do it, but I was trying to put it on someone else because I guess like Moses, I didn't think I was adequate enough to do it. And that, you know, the message is that we really need to get back to the basics. Our country, our world is like it is today because we have fallen short of God's commandments. We have turned away from the Ten Commandments. It's just the moral law that we're to live by. And I say this because God actually spoke to me after I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, in an audible voice and said, keep my commandments. And when I heard that, then I knew that that was the message that he wanted me to get out to everyone, that we have to keep his commandments. And the Ten Commandments, actually, that he is referring to is from Deuteronomy 5, which is where I come up with the slogan, D5, to stay alive. I know the Ten Commandments are actually found in two sections of the Bible, in Exodus and in Deuteronomy. And most people are more familiar with the set that's in Exodus, which are the tablets, you know, that Moses broke into. However, Deuteronomy, it's like a reminder, because the people during that time had sort of forgotten about God's laws and started doing what they wanted to do, living their lives the way they wanted to live. And God actually had Moses put together another set and present it to them to remind them not only of his law that he created for everyone, not just for the Jews, but for the world, because the Ten Commandments has always been in place. It's just that they were not written on the tablets until God did that with Moses. But if you recall, in the beginning in Genesis, God rested on the seventh day as well after he created man.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, the law has always been in place. Okay? But he included in Deuteronomy the fact that he brought the Israelites out of Egypt.
Right.
With a mighty hand. And see, that's what the Israelites had forgotten. And he wants us to also remember that. If he did it for the Israelites, he can do it for us, meaning he can bring us out of what we're going through, what the world is going through right now, all this disaster that's going on, all the economic crisis, the killing of each other, you know, people just killing for no reason.
Right.
I read on the Internet the other day, 17 people, I believe, shot, you know, in Mexico for no reason. Why are these things happening? Because we have no morals. We've lost sight of God's moral law. It's like we have no value for life. So we need the Deuteronomy 5 in order to stay alive.
The value of life, I so agree with that. It's shocking, some of the things that we talk about on America Tonight. We're almost out of time, and they can learn about D5 and all that you have to say. And by the way, you have a master's in Christian counseling. You've done so many things, like you said. I mean, you're a person who, you're an account executive, a realtor, a Christian counselor. You've got Safe in the Ark. How do they get a copy of Safe in the Ark?
Safe in the Ark is a very new book. So if you go into the bookstore, Borders, Barnes, Nobles, what have you, you will have to ask the cashier for the book, Safe in the Ark. It may not be there yet, but
it will be.
Ask them by name and the title, you know, Safe in the
Ark
by C.D. Barry, they can order it for you. Or you can go directly through the publisher, which is publishamerica.com.
All right.
ECigarettesNational.com would like to introduce an alternative to smoking regular cigarettes to all GCN listeners. It's called the e-cigarette. It looks, feels, tastes, and delivers nicotine like a regular cigarette. But because this is not a cigarette, you don't have to worry about more than 3,900 toxic chemicals and tar entering your body. There's no flame, so there's no risk of fire, and has no dangerous secondhand smoke, so it's safe for the people around you, and will save you right around 50% over smoking regular cigarettes. So, get rid of the ashtrays, the smell, and the smoke. Learn more by visiting ecigarettesnational.com. That's the letter E, cigarettesnational.com. ecigarettesnational.com. And use coupon code GCN and receive 10% off your order. Or call 1-888-329-7064. 1-888-329-7064 today. To purchase, you must be 18 or older.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN, great talk radio starts here.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
If you currently owe back taxes to the IRS or state, this special announcement is for you. Tax authorities are now accepting settlements, and you can resolve your tax debt for a fraction of what you owe. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, now is the time to act before it's too late. We're the Rely On Group, and our tax resolution experts are here to help you right now. Many of our tax experts are former IRS agents. They know how to legally and permanently resolve your tax problems and make sure you don't pay a dime more than you have to. Call now to immediately remove tax liens, eliminate tax penalties, and end wage garnishments. If you owe back taxes to the IRS or state, call us for free information about how you can legally settle your tax liabilities and save thousands of dollars. Call now. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944. 1-800-984-1944.
Would you give someone $100 for a $10 bill? If you're taking vitamins and minerals in a pill form, that's exactly what you're doing. Hello, my name is Dr. David Friedman. According to the Physician's Desk Reference, many vitamins and minerals in a pill form are 10% absorbed. It doesn't take a mathematician to figure out for every $100 you spend on these pills, you're flushing $90 down the toilet. Start absorbing the nutrients you swallow. Introducing Chews for Health, a delicious tasting chewable containing 16 superfruits, sea vegetables, and antioxidants. You know, you work hard for your money. Isn't it time to start getting what you pay for? Order today. 1-800-210-1922. With Choose for Health, your body gets to keep the nutrients you swallow. The first 300 callers are going to receive a free copy of my best-selling CD, America's Unbalanced Diet. 1-800-210-1922. Or go to orderchoose.com.
Coming up, we have odds and ends. We'll take you around the states and tell you what's happening, maybe in your own backyard here on America Tonight. But first, this is a story that did have a happy ending, although it's going to be, I think, tough to get that readjustment period for the Dugard family, but at least they have it. Hey, for 18 years thinking your daughter is dead, buried somewhere, who knows what, then suddenly to find out your daughter is a grown woman and you have a daughter and now these two grandchildren, your emotions must be on a roller coaster. But eventually you hope and pray things settle down for these folks, right? So finally, because everybody wants to know what's happening. Tina Dugard, who is the aunt to JC and is close to her sister and is trying to help the whole family as well in hanging out and getting to know each other and that whole process, she spoke to the media because there were so many requests, like to talk to JC. And you know that that's not going to happen after all the 18 years of being in a tent and not having much connection to the outside world and these two kids. It'll be, I think, a long time before anybody gets an interview with her. So it was great, I think, that the aunt came out because people want to know, how's the family doing? How is she? How are the children? You know, what can you tell us? And here's what she had to say.
JC and her daughters are with her mom and younger sister in a secluded place reconnecting. I was with them until recently. We spent time sharing memories and stories and getting to know each other again. JC remembers all of us. She is especially enjoying getting to know her little sister, who was just a baby when JC was taken. Not only have we laughed and cried together, but we've spent time sitting quietly, taking pleasure in each other's company. We are so very grateful to have her home. JC is a remarkable young woman who has raised two beautiful daughters. They are clever, articulate, curious girls who have a bright future ahead of them. Although they have no formal education, they are certainly educated. JC did a truly amazing job with the limited resources and education that she herself had, and we are so proud of her. On behalf of my sister, Terry, and the rest of our family, allow me to thank everyone for the prayers and best wishes you have all sent. The smile on my sister's face is as wide as the sea. Her oldest daughter is finally home.
All right, so that was a nice way to finish that, I think. And one of the things that she said is that there are suddenly popping up, of course, there's always idiots out there that try to take advantage of vulnerable people and things that happen that are nasty. So there are people that are saying they're raising money for JC and the girls, but they're not at all connected with them, and they're just trying to get money. But they did set up a trust fund for donations to help them, because you can imagine, that's the first thing I thought of. Okay, how does she make a living? No education, no background in what's going on even in the world, just the bits and pieces, and who knows what was revealed to her while she was in captivity for the 18 years. And the same thing with the girls, because they haven't had any kind of a formal education, so that's going to take some time to sort of catch them up on what's happened in that whole time. You have an 11-year-old, a 15-year-old, and, of course, a 29-year-old, the mother, JC, who since 11 has only been able to do what Philip Garrido wanted her to do. So at the end of this whole thing, the Garridos, of course, they plead not guilty. I'm sure you're not shocked by that. I have a bad, bad, bad feeling that it's going to be the insanity plea or some other such, you know, nonsense. But I think the scariest thing that comes out of this whole story is the fact that they had a monitoring device. They had, I guess, a parole officer that went to see him at one point, didn't look all the way around, just kind of did the once-over of the house, didn't ask a lot of questions. I still come back to the same thing. How could nobody have known this for so long? And what a gap in the system, what a gap in the parole system for, first of all, should he have been out 50 years is the sentence, he gets out in 11. He's a registered sex offender. He raped somebody viciously for 8 hours, so he gets 11 years for that. And look what happens just a few years after he's out. And then the wife, Nancy Garrido, and the fact that the attorney trots out earlier in the week, a couple days ago, and says, geez, she's worried about all the media coverage. Really? Too bad. Maybe you should have gone to the cops when this happened and had a change of heart. Because you went along with the sick freak that you were married to. You cannot say it was against your will. Sorry, I'm not buying what she's selling. Tomas is listening to us in Michigan. Hello, Tomas.
Well, first of all, did you hear about that guy, Van Jones?
I talked about it a lot last night. Of course, what he said about the Republicans and now the stuff about 9/11. And, you know, he's the Green Czar, but I guarantee I don't see him losing his job. He gets a free pass.
Yeah, well, I listened to the video, and at first he says Republicans are donkey orifices. And then he said he is a donkey orifice also. Mm-hmm. He can be. So does that make him a black Republican donkey orifice? I don't know. But, you know, that aside, okay, in Afghanistan, you have to understand that we are surging in there, and that takes time. Now, we're in 2 months, you know, into the surge, okay? And
eight years into being there. 8 years into being in Afghanistan, you're right. It is the surge part. They have to have more troops on the ground. I agree with you there. But that's, you know, if the intended end game. What is the intended end game? To kill the Taliban and not let any young guys be influenced anymore by them, and not hopefully, you know, kill the beast enough that you're not growing the seeds of more hatred?
Well, I would read some of the articles that Oliver North is writing before you read, you know, Will, because, you know, Will ain't never served much time in the military, and Oliver North has, I think, spent the last 4 years over in Iraq and Afghanistan. But another thing is, the Taliban is like the toenail on the monster. You know, it's not the Taliban, it's Islam. Okay, I mean, recently I think the Afghanistan government voted that it was okay for a man to rape his wife, you know, once every 4 weeks, or, you know, if the, you know, that was the limit, you know, he could do it up to that many times, or, you know, I mean,
right.
That's the situation here. And the other, we have to identify the enemy, and then we have to do another thing, and that is mobilize. Now, look at World War II.
Yeah, but wait a second. Why can't we do this? Wait a second. What Will is saying, there are other Republican-minded generals, you know this, Tomas, that are saying the same thing, that the American people are not buying this war, and the people, they don't want it to turn into another Vietnam. This is not liberal Democrats. There are dyed-in-the-wool conservatives are saying, wait a second, we need to have a strategy here. We need to know what's going on to make it worthwhile if we're going to continue and proceed this way. And a lot of the generals are saying the same thing that Will said in the last part of his piece in the Washington Post. We really need to be on the border of Afghanistan. That's where the trouble is. I mean, of Pakistan, that's where the trouble is.
Yeah, you know, look, what are you going to do on the border of Afghanistan or on the border of Pakistan? You don't do anything in war on the border of anywhere. You have to go after them. You have to cross the border, and you have to go after the enemy wherever they go. You need to go. You see, now in Vietnam, they were in Cambodia. They were in Laos. They were in North Vietnam, and we couldn't go after them. And when we did, when we went after Cambodia, we kicked their butt, and the whole world went into an uproar, and then we got all PC insensitive. They didn't call it PC then, you know. Now, World War II, there were two things. We identified the enemy, and we mobilized the country. Now, when you drive to work, do you see a mobilized country? Do you see, you know, posters saying, you know, support the war?
No. Absolutely not.
No. But we're sending our best, our most courageous young men and women out there, and then they're going toe-to-toe. They're not using the best technology. They're having the biggest weapons. They're almost fighting like a spiritual Christian war out there, trying to save the enemy and save the civilians and not kill anybody and still not get killed,
you know, and not
blow up that house because there may be a baby in the house.
Right,
even though there's five Taliban in there, so you got to maybe get two or three Marines wounded to kill that Taliban.
Right,
you know,
I agree.
Or I mean, so, you know, if Obama wanted to, he has the ability to articulate a message and get this country behind something.
But well, I agree. That's what he has to do. Wesley Clark said that.
This is
what he wants. He said Afghanistan is his. If he's saying Afghanistan is, I'm committed to Afghanistan, then he needs to be committed to Afghanistan. And you're absolutely right, Tomas. This needs to be told to the American people so they get that we're at war, like you said, and get the support is behind it more than just, I say this all the time, the people who have sons and daughters and relatives and people down the street. It needs to be fully invested. We need to be fully invested into this. And I don't think we need to be there for a decade and have the same crappy results that we have in Vietnam. I feel so awful for all the people in Vietnam that fought so valiantly, came home to what? Protests, wheelchairs that were broken down. Sad. I don't want to see this time around. Hang with us, everybody.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Vedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 989-637-4179. That's 989-637-4179. Be a part of the revolution today.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NOTAX. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, Ed Schultz here. I want to tell you about BioGreenClean.com. BioGreenClean. It is absolutely the first heavy-duty, all-natural, multi-purpose cleaner that outperforms all competitive cleaners. BioGreenClean is the product. It's tough enough to take on virtually any cleaning challenge, yet gentle enough for your baby's toys. That's right. BioGreenClean is plant-derived and contains no harmful chemicals, solvents, and no annoying fragrances. If you want spectacular and unprecedented results from a revolutionary cleaning product, look no further. BioGreenClean is the cleaning product that you've been waiting for. It's that simple. It's super, and it's easy to order. Just go to www.biogreenclean.com. That's www.biogreenclean.com. BioGreenClean.com. Try it today. You'll be glad you did. BioGreenClean. It cleans anything.
If you want to throw in your 2 cents about Afghanistan, you can do that at 800-259-5791. We've talked to a lot of people about Afghanistan. In fact, earlier this week, we were talking about the CIA and how they're getting thrown under the bus and the investigations and the Attorney General Eric Holder, which really he's an appendage of the president who says, oh, well, I have nothing to do with it, baloney. Those two are inseparable, and he absolutely has something to do with it. This was a way to pacify the left because they were so up in arms about the photographs that were released and the enhanced interrogation techniques that were released, the waterboarding, in other words, of Khalid Sheikh Mohammed for one. That's what that's all about. We talked to Jeff Atticott a lot on this show. He's a terrorism expert, talks to the FBI, testifies before Congress, all that sort of stuff. And he's had some interesting thoughts about Afghanistan as well. He believes, too, that Pakistan is really the place where we should be. And I agree with that. Pakistan is ultimately smoldering, and that's the place to hit. Now, having said that, if we are in Afghanistan and this is where we're going to be, then somebody needs to really push this and push this hard to the country because people don't even call it a war. People just say, oh, yeah, in Afghanistan or so-and-so went to Afghanistan. I'm always surprised by that because it doesn't feel to many people like a war. And Tomas made a great point about that. I don't agree with his stance on Afghanistan because I don't think we should be there. I think we're going to see, sadly, and I hope I'm dead I'm wrong on this, but I think what's going to happen, we're going to see a decade, another decade in Afghanistan, and nothing is really going to change. Nothing's going to be different. And then what? We're going to leave. What's, you know, McChrystal, the general there, says this is winnable. Well, if it's winnable, then win it. Then win it. Win over the American people and win it. That'd be a great thing. Hey, I'm all for that because I support the troops, anybody who goes over 100% or more. If somebody is going to go over there and go through those horrible conditions that you have to go through and go through the mind games that you have to go through, and Tomas did point that out, too, because it's like the politically correct war you're fighting. That's why I think George Will has a point. You use the drones, you use the other things, and guess what? You don't put those guys in that position either. Now, putting someone in that position to go after the so-called enemy, and they are the enemy, I mean, the Taliban, like Al-Qaeda, would certainly slit our throats in a second. We know that, right? But if that's the game plan, then you need to really have a good game plan, and you need to execute it, and people need to be on board and know what it is. And the president is the commander-in-chief. I don't care if he served or not. It's not about that. He is the commander-in-chief, just like Bush, just like Clinton, just like Carter, just like Nixon, just like whoever. So it has to come from him. In other words, he has to lead the rally, not just some tepid little, you know, Afghanistan, no, not some flowery speech nonsense. I mean, something hard, something that really resonates with people. All right, I said this was odds and ends when we take you all over the place and what happened. I think one of the crazy stories that emerged from the last day or two, of course, we have all these health care reform town hall meetings, all that sort of stuff. Los Angeles, which is on fire, they decide they're going to hold one of the health care rallies. And this was the oddest story. I almost felt like, was Mike Tyson in the crowd? A 65-year-old man's finger was bitten off in L.A., at this healthcare reform, because there was a group of anti healthcare reform protesters, and then there were moveon.org supporting healthcare, and so they got into a ruckus, I guess. There were a few punches thrown and all this other stuff, and all of a sudden, before you know it, there's this big scuffle and someone's fingers on the street. Wow. That's the worst thing I think that's happened in anything that we've seen across the country. You lose your finger, then have to have it reattached, I guess, for going to one of these meetings. And I guess he couldn't even get it reattached because of the complications, excuse me, from human saliva. Let's go to Sam in Montreal.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
That sounds like that rally. Almost sounds like the days of the Broad Street Bullies.
Crazy.
Yeah, I know, totally. You were mentioning Afghanistan. I know. Canada, and we might be going for another election here in Canada. We'll know once Parliament gets back. And anyway, Canada has this deal that they want to be out of Afghanistan by 2011. Now, if they do stick to that, that means, with all due respect, you people will be you'll be Big Brother, if you know what I mean.
Well, right, and already the United States is, because most of the troops are from the United States.
Right. I mean, what are we fighting for? You know, I'm all for them going over and, you know, trying to get rid of terrorism, but at the same time, you know, are we just fighting a bunch of terrorists, or are we fighting? Obviously, these terrorists must be getting money from somewhere, and who knows where they're getting it from.
Well, they're getting money from the opium fields, because they're selling the opium gets sold, and that is part of heroin, and they make a ton of money on it.
Right. So, and then you just mentioned earlier about this general. What's his name? McChrystal.
He's the lead general.
Yeah, the lead general. You know what? Okay, I know. People are probably sick and tired of me bringing hockey into this. Send over Ken Hitchcock. Do it as a hockey thing, and we'd send over Mark Crawford.
If only we could laugh and joke and do that.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
We can't, and the seriousness of it
is that
people are going to lose lives. You're going to have lost lives. If you spill blood for a good cause, it's a different thing.
Well, I know, like, I was talking to a friend of mine in New York. Yes, I have friends outside of Canada. And she has a friend who's in the Navy, an officer. She went up to her CEO and said, you know, I can't go because originally they were going to send her over to Afghanistan. She goes, why not? I'm Jewish. So then her CEO went, yeah, so? They capture me. They can use me as bait. So the CEO...
I don't know that you want to be used for bait.
Right. So then the CEO went, oh, I never thought of it that way. So, she's getting... okay, and then some people are calling her a chicken for not going over.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, she told my friend, she said, if I wasn't Jewish, I'd be gung-ho about going over. But she's just worried that if she gets captured, they might say, oh, you're Jewish. They'll accuse her of being a Zionist, or a spy for Israel, you know, and things like that. And they'll just say, okay, we've got something. We want you to release 1,000 prisoners to get her back, you know, stuff like that. So that's what she was worried about. So, you know, I don't know if it, the only people who win on this are the defense contractors.
Yeah, the defense contractors, of course, which
right.
Blackwater now renamed something else. I don't even know that they call it Blackwater. They're
right.
still getting money from Iraq and supposedly some Afghanistan. I mean, hey, I hope they could, if you could stamp out terrorism.
Right.
How do you stamp out terrorism is the other thing, because it's such an elusive deal. You've got Al-Qaeda, you've got the Taliban, you have other groups that are splinter groups that bubble up. It's pretty tough.
Right. Now, one question. I don't know if you've heard, but Kurt Schilling's thinking about going after Kennedy's seat. You think he's serious, or you think he's just blowing smoke?
Serious. He's an independent, but he slants more toward the Republican side. He's very involved in politics. I mentioned this on the last show. Thanks, Sam, for the call. Have a great weekend. He calls a lot of the news talk shows, calls a lot of the sports talk shows. People like him in Boston. He could have a shot at it. I mean, they do the special election, and he's an independent. So, of course, it depends on the people then, because we're talking about an election. He doesn't get the interim deal, which is what the push is, of course, from the governor, Deval Patrick, and it's very controversial, but I think he's going to get his way. And we'll see. September 9th is the big day on that, the public hearing. But let's say that happens, then you have this special election, and the special election, Kurt Schilling certainly could run there. Let me say something else about Afghanistan, and I think I mentioned this before. What's happened now is you got the 82nd Airborne Division, they're in Afghanistan. Their tours are extended by 50 days or so. That's from 12 months to nearly 14 months. And then you have the 101st Airborne Division. They could have 12 months at home, but the 82nd was supposed to return in May. They're going to come home sometime in July. So what you have happening is you have an extension, at least a little bit of extension for those troops. And I guess they say it's based on the experience and then trying to get the other guys in there as fast as they can. We're not going to solve Afghanistan, certainly, in one show here on America Tonight, but please express your opinions to americatonight.net. I'm going to leave you with this one. This is from Winston Churchill. He said, I'm ready to meet my maker. Whether my maker is prepared for the great ordeal of meeting me is another matter.
This constant bickering is going to put me in a coma.